Welcome back to the Free From Wall Street podcast. This is Steve Libman. I am your host, managing partner of Integrity Holdings Group. And today, we are honoring our team. So I'm going to be doing a little bit of a replay of a Meet the Team webinar. If you know anything about running your own company, you know that it is the team that makes the company, and we have a fantastic one. So nothing that we do here at Integrity Holdings Group can be done without our team. So take a listen and celebrate our team with me today. Welcome to the Free From Wall Street podcast, where we share how we have done over $200 million in real estate deals to create, preserve, and pass on generational wealth without the roller coaster ride of the stock market. If you're ready to start investing with purpose, visit freefromwallstreet.com. But for now, let's dive into this episode. So thanks for jumping on with us. You know, we try to do this once a month. It's just an informal meet the team where we introduce ourselves to you, where we lay out kind of who does what in the company and a little bit about our background, what kind of assets we're acquiring, and then just personally what we do in the company. So first, as you can see, we all work from home. So this is real life, real live. If you've ever seen the YouTube video of the kids busting in on the guy on BBC, then that's our life. So if it happens, forgive us. But you know, the reason that we got into this business is so that we could spend more time with our families, have that passive income, and just be home. We don't have to be tied to an office all the time, and we get to travel around and spend time with our families. So it might happen. I have a one-year-old, a three-year-old, and a seven-year-old, and they all want to be on the Zoom calls all the time. So if they bust in on us, forgive me. So my name is Steve Libman. I'm the managing partner at Integrity Holdings Group. We are a commercial real estate investment firm, and that means we invest in self-storage assets and multifamily assets all around the country. We typically are in the Midwest and the Southeast, as far west as Dallas, though. So what we're looking for when we're looking for investments is population growth, job density, job growth, job diversity, things like that. We choose our investments because we're investors first. We want to make our money work for us. We want the depreciation that we're going to get from it. We want the tax benefits. And that all was a genesis from when the business started 11 years ago. 11 years ago, we got into wholesaling and fix and flip type properties, and we grew and scaled that business up to doing 15 to 20 deals a month at one point. And what we found, and Jimmy, you know this well, is real estate is fantastic, but it is transactional. Every time you do one deal, you need to start looking for the next deal. It pays you once, and it's very highly taxed. And when we found that out, we recognized that we needed to figure out how to take that active income and move it into more passive income tax advantage buckets if we were ever going to get to our financial freedom number. Our financial freedom number is when that passive income outpaces your day-to-day bills, and now you don't have to go to work every day to make your bills. So that was what Travis and I were looking for. Even after we built this very scaled out business, it was a cash eating machine. That business is, like I said, very highly transactional. You're doing a bunch of marketing. You're hoping that deals come in. You can figure out KPIs and metrics, but you know, as markets shift, that business can shift very easily on you as well. So taking the active income and putting it into more passive investments is where we were going to go. We didn't know what or how we would do that, whether it was single families, quads, dupes. Do I invest in North Jersey or not? We don't, by the way. The reason not is because New Jersey is very difficult to evict tenants. It's not a landlord-friendly state, and the cash flow here is minimal because the price per door here is very high. Price per door is a metric that we calculate in terms of, you know, if you're buying 100 units, how much is one door in that 100 units cost you? If you buy stuff in New Jersey, it's difficult to find stuff that's low price that cash flows well. So now we own stuff in Columbus, Dallas, and Florida. And those three states, if you look, are in the top 15 fastest growing states in the country. New Jersey is one of the top three exited states in the country. So California, New York, and New Jersey are where people leave the most from. Texas, Florida, Arizona are where people go to the most. So the places that drive populations is where we want to invest in, right? It's a pretty simple metric that we measure there. So that's a little bit of a synopsis as to what we invest in. And the reason why we invest in this is twofold, right? We say invest with purpose in our in all of our marketing material. And what that means is in every deal that we do, we carve out a position for a nonprofit in every single deal that we do. And that doesn't affect investor returns. It comes out of our end. And we just think that there's a lot of need in the world and we can start to help create passive income for these nonprofits, just like for us and just like for our investors. So through the life of the deal, they're getting quarterly checks just as our investors are to help them with their mission. You know, we feel like there's a lot of people on the front lines that need some financial help. And, you know, I met with a missionary that came back from the Philippines. She was doing really difficult work, would come home and then at Christmas break would come sit at our kitchen table and tell us about the great work that she was doing and then ask us for that $50 or $100 a month donation. And, you know, it just resonated with me that we could, through this business, help create more consistency. And maybe when they came off the front lines, they could actually spend some time with their families and decompress and recharge and then go back out into the war. And, you know, instead of going out and having to raise that capital. So that's kind of the impact investing piece that is the heart behind the business. And then the other thing that we really like to focus on is just that passive cash flow, tax depreciation, tax benefits. So all of our investors sit in what we call a limited partner position. We are the general partners. And like we said, we're investors first. So we're looking for institutional grade assets to invest in and institutional grade partners that we're investing with. And you'll see that when you go into our investor club and you sign up and you kind of see deal alerts and the types of deals that we're doing, you'll be able to see some of the offer memorandums for that. So if there's no questions at this point, we'll kind of do a round robin and we'll go around and meet the rest of the team. Anybody have anything? Good. All right. So I'll pass it off to my partner. Just quick 2 seconds on me. Graduated Boston University in 2004, married for going on 14 years now, 3 beautiful children. I'm a trustee at our church, and we have been published in Forbes a couple times this year, and we sit on the Rutgers board for advisory thinking as well. So that is my quick snippet. I'll turn it over to Travis Cotter, my partner in crime here. Travis.
Hey guys, Travis Cotter, father of 2, happily married, living in New Jersey right now, soon to be North Carolina. We're very excited to get ourselves down south. So as far as my day-to-day, it's handling acquisitions, asset management and dispositions, pretty much everything else in between, legal, lending, capital plans, management plans. Staying on budget, figuring out variances. It's kind of the boring stuff, but I love it.
It's what drives the business, right? I mean, so we take over an asset. We have to put the asset management plan in place, the property management plan in place. We have to talk to the legal entities. We're going to make sure that we're formation of all the LLCs and the documents and all that good stuff. But that's kind of what drives this business, seeing what your pro forma is, what your budget is, and what the actuals are, and why that variance exists, if there is one. That's how we all make money. So Travis has put his head to that every week. He's managing the managers and he's making sure that all those reports that we're going to be sending out to you guys through our investor portal, there's good data there to really analyze. So it's important stuff.
Hey everyone, Celia here. I am Director of Investor Relations here at IHG. I've been with the company just over 3 years, though I do have a 14-year background in real estate. I started as a residential agent, originally from New Jersey, currently living in the DC metro area with my husband of 11 years and our dog Boss. We love visiting state and national parks, hiking, visiting new restaurants on the weekend, things of that nature. Day to day, I love to assist all of our investors with whether it's their deal docs or helping to navigate on our investor portal, where each and every investor has their own customized dashboard. So imagine your banking institution like Wells Fargo or Chase, where you're able to go on and actually see infographics of each and every investment, your distributions, all of your docs are there, whether it's your operating agreement, sub-agreement, as well as tax documentations like K-1s. In addition to investor relations, I'm also an ambassador for our Invest with Purpose. So I have weekly and monthly meetings with each and every nonprofit. We update all of our investors through a weekly newsletter. In addition to the nonprofit updates, we also send out the weekly or monthly webinars that we're having, as well as the weekly Free From Wall Street podcast, as well as monthly updates on all of our properties. So in the newsletter, it's very readable. You're able to see operational changes, capital improvements, as well as marketing highlights. So they're pretty comprehensive, and we've been receiving excellent feedback on those.
What I love about those, by the way, is that I think most people invest in real estate for the same reason that we do, which is we like to touch it, feel it. If we can't drive by it, we want to make you still feel like you're a part of that project. So we're uploading photos and videos and capital plans. And, you know, so that newsletter that goes out is really kind of your eye into the asset that you're investing in. You know, part of the story I didn't mention before was about 8 years ago, my father passed away and he lost about half of what he had in the stock market in that crash. And then he didn't ride the crash back up because he passed away. So when we started this business, we were trying to figure out how do we get into the least volatile asset classes to protect the downside, right? And if you do a lot of research like we like to do, you'll find that commercial real estate is certainly a better hedge than residential and certainly a better hedge than the volatility of the stock market, especially if you don't know where it stops, right? It's a game of musical chairs that you know, we've seen firsthand how that can affect generational wealth creation. So all that to be said is if you do adhere to that thought process of commercial real estate being something that is better for wealth building than anything else, then, you know, this is kind of the way that we get to keep you really apprised of what's going on with the property. I mean, you'll get up to 150 pages of reports that if you want to geek out on and dig through and see all those budget variances that Travis is looking at too, you have access to it. If you just are like me, where you're kind of high vision and you just want to see the pictures and how much it costs to do that upgrade, then you can see that too, right? So we give you the whole breadth of information regardless of your personality type. You'll be able to see it. And Celia does a great job putting all that stuff together for everybody on a weekly and monthly basis.
Thank you so much for listening to the Free From Wall Street podcast. We're excited that you're listening and tuning in every week, but we want to have a two-way conversation with you, not just a one-way conversation. So go to integrityhg.com/webinar and join us on one of our weekly webinars where you can meet me, meet the team, have a conversation, and let's really talk about your investing goals and how we can help.
Cool. So Justine, we'll turn it over to you.
All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Justine. I actually just started working with Integrity in September of last year. I am married for 10 years. I have two children. Sorry, 8 and 4, 5. Oh, my gosh. my son is 8. My daughter is 5 years old. My background educationally, I actually graduated school with a bachelor's in sociology and 2 teaching certificates. I did teach for 3 years, but to be honest with you, I wanted to be home with my children and I didn't find it as flexible as some may say it might be. I found myself still picking up like waitressing jobs at night and working on the weekends through the summer. So when I had this opportunity, I took it and I'm really excited about it. As far as what I do for the company, I am operations manager. So I'm dealing with a lot of like the data validation, cross-checking all the documents, making sure everything is accurate, consistent. I also deal with a lot of the organization of like our Dropbox, all of where we hold all of our files, and then the CRM. So everything that we, like in order for us to manage all of the investors and all of the important information, I keep that organized. And then as Celia mentioned before with our investor portal, so I will be uploading the files into the portal and I will be uploading any distributions. I also track all the distributions and make sure that that's all accurate, consistent. And again, like even with the taxing, so K-1s, 1099s, I'm running through that, making sure that everything is accurate, you know, before uploading it.
Cool. So Sean is actually at my father-in-law's house. Sean and I he's our chief operating officer. He's also my brother-in-law. Sean's background actually came from doing systems operations and systems security for the United States Navy. And we stole him away because he is the operator. Literally, if you take personality tests, that's what his title is. So he is where Travis and I come up with vision, and he is the guy who makes the rubber meet the road. So he's actually at my father-in-law's house right now. So he's gotten pulled away. But at the end of the day, what Sean does is he manages the team. He manages even me and Travis. He kind of tells us kind of what he needs done to make this business run efficiently, even though we are the owners. He is the guy in charge. And he runs EOS for us. EOS is the Entrepreneur Operating System. And what that really means is that every week, every month, every quarter, and at the end of every year, we evaluate what issues might be coming up in the business, and we solve for those issues so that they never come up again. We take time out of every week, every month, every quarter to make sure that we're evaluating where there are problems, solving for those problems, and trying to become the most efficient and effective team that we can. John Maxwell once said, some say that experience is the greatest teacher. Not true. Evaluated experience really is. So we sit down and we make sure that we're taking a couple hours every single week to talk to each other, find out what we are doing right, what we're doing wrong, and what we could be doing differently to serve both our business and you as the investors better. Good timing, Sean. I was just talking about you. I hope you didn't hear too much.
I didn't. Sorry about that. I had to run out.
Yeah, no worries. So I was just letting them know kind of what your day-to-day operations look like. And we just got through kind of explaining what EOS is, but you go ahead and share kind of more of the who you are versus the what you do.
Okay. I'm a detail guy. I don't know what you said, but I have an operations background. And so I handle all the operations here, kind of make sure nothing's falling through the cracks. Everything's on time, on track, or where we have a valid explanation of why it's not, and we have a plan to address it, kind of thing. it's kind of how my whole life runs. I have 6 kids, and
you just celebrated
celebrated my 20th anniversary last week. Life is good.
Life indeed is. I see Paul holding his son hanging out, having a good time as well. So you guys are muted, which means we can't hear you if you want to talk to us, but feel free to jump in and ask the team any questions that you might have. We're open books, so personal, background, business, assets, whatever you'd like to know, feel free to jump in.
Hey guys, a nice meeting the whole team. Very, very impressive group, and great to see everyone is definitely a family oriented and, down to earth. I guess the question I had was, what size assets do you guys normally invest in? I know it's commercial real estate, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Okay. So we like multifamily and self-storage because one reason, right? Volatility, which I touched on before. Mm-hmm. If you look historically, even during the last downturn, 2007-08, residential real estate had a 4.5% default rate in the mortgage sector. And that's actually what created the whole domino effect of the economy falling out. And Jimmy will let you know too, that 0.4% was where multifamily default rates were at. And self-storage was even lower than that. Self-storage was actually the only asset class during that downturn to increase in value 5% per year over year for the next following 3 years. So we have about 380,000 square feet of storage down in Orlando over 3 storage complexes. We're just about to sell, actually. We're under contract and we're closing on that in about 6 to 8 weeks, returning the investors exactly what they were promised and moving them into another asset. Those were a little bit smaller than the deals that we're doing now. They were about $10 to $12 million each.
Okay.
So that's where we kind of started, and now we're coming full cycle out of those. The most recent deal that we're doing right now is a $41.5 million acquisition. It's 384 units in Daytona Beach, Florida.
Oh, sweet.
So we expect that we'll probably continue to stay in that range. 30, $30 to $50 million acquisitions is probably where we'll be. And we'll do anywhere from 3 to 5 of them a year, right? As we underwrite these things, Travis is kind of the guy who's doing a lot of the underwriting and cross-checking and digging deep into the financials. You got to kiss a lot of frogs. So yeah. To get to 3 to 5 of those deals a year is a heavy lift, but with our team, you know, we've been able to consistently do that.
Okay, great. And how long have you guys been, been in business? Been doing this?
Just over 11 years.
Oh, yeah. It's a long time. Long time in real estate.
We've paid, just last year, we've paid out our investors between payouts and accruals, just about $1.2 million last year in investor distributions.
That's excellent. Mm-hmm. And what is the, I haven't seen the prospectus and so on. What is the usual buy-in and so on for the investing side of it?
So that varies. You know, frankly, we have to get on a private call to kind of discuss that, talk about your personal financial situations and where you might be able to fit. So this is more just a meet the team high level stuff, but happy to jump on a call and, you know, talk to you about particular deals and what those minimums are. They vary, right? I mean, if it's a $10 million deal, it could be 50 grand. If it's a $40 million deal, it could be 100 grand. Everything varies.
Okay. Excellent.
Deal by deal. Yeah. Jimmy, Paul, you guys got anything?
No, I'm a real estate appraiser in New Jersey. So married, 2 kids, 10 and 13. So been around real estate for a while. So done some investments. Experienced a lot of what you said, you know, volatility in the in the residential side of it. Actually quite busy doing some PPE deals, medical supply kind of stuff now, but it's a kind of interesting segment opening up and a lot of stuff going on with that. So,
Good, if you're an appraiser, you're busy too.
Market is good. Yep. Hey, you know how it is.
That's good.
Enough work to keep you working until you're like 200. Yeah.
That's good.
That's the problem, right?
Good problem to have. Jimmy.
I'm blessed. And thank God, you know, it's good. And, I was wondering, I know I saw an email from you guys. I'm just trying to figure out how you guys met me.
That's a great question. If we sent you an email, you probably either signed up on our website or something, or you might have been a cash buyer for us 10 years ago.
Okay. I did a lot of wholesaling. I would say a year and a half, couple of years ago. I did some hard money lending as well. So
sure. So that's probably how you've been in the
Definitely. Very, very interesting. You know, I'm well put together our presentation, and I see you have some really good people. You guys are strong. So do you have like prospectus or so, or is it online or?
Yep. Actually, Celia's going to throw in the chat our investor club. So if you go follow that link and you can sign up for our investor club, then we'll get on calls and talk about deals and things like that.
Okay. Excellent. Cool. All right. Yeah. Let me do a little research and, I'm actually part of a not-for-profit foundation. I thought this was it, but that's okay. This was good. This was good anyway. You know, awesome. I thought it was a, new not-for-profit I was helping out, but, this is good. Always good to keep your mind learning stuff and stay sharp, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was great meeting you, Kurt. Appreciate that. Jimmy, did you have a question before?
I did. So do you have a geographical focus?
Yes. So really Midwest and Southeast, really paths of growth. You know, we have some assets in Columbus, Ohio, right? That's the top 15 fastest growing cities in the country and the only one not on a coast. And then we have multiple assets in Orlando and now this new acquisition in Daytona Beach. So we're bullish in Florida along with everybody else. You know, between Texas and Florida, they're the two fastest growing states in the country. So we own some stuff in the DFW market and now in multiple markets in Florida as well. So really, you know, the assessment is probably what the people are asking you for, right? It's show me paths of growth, show me job growth and job diversity, and where can I see to expect gentrification and rent growth. That's I'm going to be able to purchase something below new construction cost, replacement cost.
Right. Do you invest in other people's deals?
Well, so, you know, really we're the investors first, right? So we're out there looking for institutional sponsors with 30, 40 year track records. And then we come in and we say, yeah, we're going to invest in this deal. And then we'll bring our investors in with us. So we're basically a private equity fund that is funding institutional type deals with institutional type operators.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely. Paul, anything from you? I don't know if you're still with us or if
we
your
lost
son
him.
Has taken over. We know what it's like. I can hear mine in the background.
Yeah. Thank God for the mute button.
Cool. Well, if there's nothing else, it was very nice meeting everybody. Certainly go and sign up for our investor club so we can keep in touch. If any questions pop up after this call, feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to continue the conversation and just kind of share with you what it is that we're doing and how we're trying to change the world.
Great presentation. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, cool, Jim.
Thank you.
Great to meet you guys.
Thank you.
All right, all.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Free from Wall Street podcast. If you like what you hear, leave us a rating and review and let us know what you think.